All right, let's move
totes
along.
Dorbs.
Lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, because Mondays mean this.
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
Sounds kind of good, doesn't it?
Other people want it. It must be good.
So it's bad. How bad?
Oh, my God. That's the worst thing I ever heard in my life.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
It's the Richter Scale. This is where I, Nick, bring up big stories and events from the weekend. Steve and Alex, that's them. They rate their impact. We begin with the NFL preseason.
You need booze.
Week 2 was all about the new helmet rule. Richard Sherman went on several Twitter rants to talk about the rule and how it is physically impossible to tackle someone running full speed without leading with your head, and it makes some sense, seeing that the NFL also teaches you to see what you hit and keep your head up when tackling. Just, you know, lead with your belly, I guess. I don't know. What the NFL is trying to stop and what the officials are calling in the preseason seem to be two very different things. When I asked a couple weeks ago about what Roquan Smith's mini holdout over contract disputes and suspensions and fines because of this rule was going to impact the NFL, that was before we even saw the penalty go into play. So I ask again, how big of an impact is this rule going to have on the NFL in 2018?
Man, I got to tell you, the idiocy of this weekend may have helped, because I think they have to go back to the drawing board and say, all right, this is why there's a preseason. We can't do this during the regular season. It's got to be reviewable, or we've got to tweak it. So right now I'm saying it is making an impact, that something's going to change. I'm going to give it an 8.
But are they going to change to go back to the way they were before, because they clearly haven't figured it out yet?
I don't know. But I'm just saying, this can't happen.
Yeah. The impact on the season's probably still going to be really high. I'd say like a 7. And by the way, Richard Sherman, like, watch rugby. Because that's how you do it.
Well, the thing was,
that's how you tackle without leading with your head.
They were,
if you do, then you die.
Well, they were calling penalties where guys were like legally like wrapping up a guy around the waist, and it's just,
but
like
the head was low,
when you go low to tackle a guy, you have to get your head low too.
Yeah,
and like there's contact with the helmet being made, and they're just thinking, odd helmet touch.
That's the hardest part about like form tackling, is getting your butt low and your head up, and it's really difficult to do at full speed.
Folks,
just trip everybody.
Check the sack. Yeah. By Minnesota's Antoine
that
Williams
was a joke.
On Cody Kessler.
Yeah.
Then tell me they could actually play a season with this crap. No.
It's going to be close to unwatchable if it stays like this. MLB is kicking off their second Players Weekend with the Little League Classic in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, between the Mets and Phillies, where kids from all over the U.S. and the world come together for the Little League World Series, and they get the chance to learn from the best of the best, as well as the Mets. Baseball brings back that nostalgic feel to the game, adding the postgame handshake between teams and more. How does the Little League Classic rate as a fun one-off game for baseball?
Hang on, Steve, were you booing Williamsport or the Little League?
The Little League World Series.
World Series, okay. Wow. That's right. Your take is that you don't like the Little League World Series at all, right?
No, I don't need to see it.
It exploits
all
kids.
Long.
It doesn't need to be on TV.
I don't care. I just don't need to see 12-year-olds old play baseball. Show me the semis and the finals. Yeah. It's not that big a deal. Move along.
Yeah.
So what was the question again?
Yeah.
How does the Little League Classic, the baseball game that's played between professionals, Steve, rate as a fun one-off game for baseball?
Zero.
Oh, okay.
Wait, what is this game?
It's just a game they play at Williamsport. They kind of make it look
professionals
like,
do?
Yeah, they don't play it on the little field, but they make the big field seem like the little field with like the bleachers and the stands.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Okay.
That's like a zero. I hate that idea. I really do.
Well, they've done it twice now.
I hate the idea.
After the professional football franchise in Washington, D.C. lost Darius Geis to a torn ACL in week one of the preseason, the football club is on the hunt again for a starting running back. They took a run with Chris Thompson, Samaje Perine, Bob Kelly, former Duck Brandon Marshall, and now Washington is hoping to find lightning in a bottle in Adrian Peterson, AP, who rushed for all of his 529 yards last year with the Aints and the Cardinals, has 2 touchdowns since 2015, and more importantly, is 33 years old. How big of an impact will this signing have on the Washington football franchise?
Of AP?
Yes.
A 1. He'll have a couple carries in the preseason, and they'll realize, oh, he can't play NFL football anymore. Bye-bye.
I'd say because it's Washington, like a 5. Because I think he gets a lot of run with them. I don't know how successfully he actually does. But in terms of like impacting their season, he's going to be like a 5. Because I think he's going to play more than Steve thinks. Because they're a bad franchise and they make horrible decisions.
Because they're bad. Yeah. That's, maybe I overlooked that.
Yeah.
They could be very bad this year. Justin, Mr. Kate Upton Verlander became the newest member of the 200-win club and the third active player with 200-plus wins, the others being CeCe Sabathia and Big Sexy Bartolo Colon. At 35, Verlander has sort of regained his Cy Young and MVP form in Houston. With the way that baseball has changed in the last 25 to 30 years and the decline of the 300-win pitcher, how big of a deal is winning 200 games?
By the way, and I'm not kidding, my State Farm trivia question today was going to be Verlander becomes the third active member with 200 wins. Colon is one. Who's second?
He's going to be part
of my... Let's see how many people were listening.
He's going to be part of my Divine Shine, too, where I'm also going to be mentioning that.
So repeat the question again.
How big of a deal is winning 200 games in baseball now?
That's big.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, I think we just answered it. It took Colon, and he came up in 1956.
55, please.
Anyway, that's a huge deal. Like I said,
I'd say like a 9. Like, I don't think we're gonna see it happen very often.
Well, Kershaw's at 150.
Yeah,
and he's got to stay healthy. So no, I like it. I think 9's right on. It's not a oh my god 10, yeah. But it's kind of a dying art.
He's also the only skinny guy to win 200 games as well. Just
I've got
very
give you that one. That
it. I'm done.
Done.